Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sanyavadi Praskata Desarai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. I want to talk today about shaking things up. The pandemic that we're dealing with is something that we've never experienced before. The economic world is shaken. People are not able to go to work. Our social lives are shaken, having to stay apart. And with all the fear and uncertainty, many people's emotional well-being is also shaken. I read about tectonic plates that form most of the Earth's surface. They're mostly stable and unmoving. But when they shake, they can create instability, upheaval, and seismic shifts that can change the entire contours of the earth. In life, we often have things that shake us to our very core. An unexpected illness, we lose a loved one. We've been at that job for years, but now there's opposition. People are trying to push us out. All the stability and amiability that we're used to is now gone. Full attention. The finances that we were counting on, the children doing great things, going to college, it's no longer there. In all of this, it's easy to get discouraged and wonder, why did this happen? Here's the key. The shaking is not there to stop you. The shaking is there to shift you. If you just keep the right attitude, keeping God first place, honor his holy names, that shaking will shift you into promotion. It will shift you into greater influence. It will shift you into better relationship. Krishna uses these shakings to get us into position for new levels. Without the door closing, we would never get out of our comfort zone where we are now. We may not like it, but the shaking is forcing us to change, forcing us to grow. If everything kept going along as it is, we would never reach our potential. Stay open for something new. Don't go back to the way you were before things changed. The reason Krishna allowed the shaking is to shift you into something better. Maybe a company had to furlough you. That wasn't a surprise to Krishna. He shook things up so that he could give you a better environment. Looks like a setback, but it's really a setup. Krishna is using it to shift you to where you couldn't go on your own. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 3rd chapter, 12th verse. Atate bharata putranam pakshyo patitam nipam chachala bhu kurukshetram yeshama patitam balam. The word chachala means shaking, and it referred to the armies that had assembled in the Kurukshetra battlefield 5,000 years ago. It was said at that time the earth was overburdened by the tyrannic, demoniac, despotic force of kings, and it needed a break, it needed a reset, the earth needed a breather. So then these words were spoken here. Oh, then the Lord caused all the kings, both the enemies and those on the side of your fighting nephews, to be killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. All those kings were so great and so strong that the earth shook as they traversed the war field. When the burden of politics and diplomacy and nations becomes too great, Krishna arranges to give relief to our gentle mother, the earth, and those of her inhabitants who are pious. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati. Whenever there's a decline in religion and a rise in irreligion, which means a rise in disrespect for Mother Earth and for our fellow living beings, including the animals, at that time, Lord Krishna comes in order to reestablish the principles of kindness, compassion, and decency. During the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna physically removed upwards of 4 million demoniac politicians, military leaders, and their followers who had gotten puffed up with their power. It says also later on in the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, 7th verse, Pravritim cha nirvritim cha. One needs to know what is to be done in the human form of life, and one needs to know what is not to be done. Now we, in common with the animals, we've all got a natural inclination for vyavaya, sex life, madhya seva, intoxication, and amisa seva, meat eating. The natural instinct is there. At least it's part of our physical body. Asuras, those who are of the demoniac nature, the type of people that Krishna came to curb 5,000 years ago, they don't try to stop it. They want to increase it. That is asura life. If you have some disease, as an example, and you want to cure it, then the doctor gives some prescription and he tells you, don't take this foodstuff or this chocolate or this sweet, which is causing the disease in the first place. For instance, a diabetic patient, the doctor will give the medicine and at the same time give a prohibition. Don't eat sweets. So the pravriti is the medicine and the nivriti are the sweets. What to do is take the medicine, eat healthy, avoid sweets. So that's nivriti. Similarly, scripture gives us direction about the things that we should be accepting and the things that we should not be accepting to get out of this conditioned material life of birth, death, disease, and old age. Nirvritam says, basically, we should not eat meat. It's producing bad karma, and it causes great suffering to our fellow living beings. Pravriti says, okay, if you have to eat meat, then eat the meat of a goat once a month, slaughtered during the dark moon night. If you have to do it, if you have to do pravriti, then do it under these conditions. In other words, decrease it with the idea of eventually getting to the point where you give it up altogether. Basically, nivritta says no illicit sex, but pravriti says I'm attracted to sex life. Then pravriti means, okay, get married and have sex life to procreate God-conscious children. Do it under regulations. Gradually refrain from these various habits. The problem is that those who are asuric, who are without godly, decent qualities, they not only do not agree to do these things under regulation with an idea of decreasing them, but their worldview is just the opposite, that we're here to increase these things as much as we humanly can. Because of this demoniac mentality which pervades our earth, Krishna is now shaking things up. Meat plants are closing down. I just read an article that came out in the New York Times today. The sales of Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat, they're up 35% right now as we speak. That's in the stores where they're heated up in the fast food store. They're up 50% in the supermarkets. People are taking them home and they're cooking them at home. Gas consumption in April, gas sales fell by 50%. Researchers at Columbia University calculated that carbon monoxide emissions in New York City, mostly from vehicles, fell by half. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but 200,000 people die in the United States of America annually because of pollution. So within these reductions of emissions comes a dramatic improvement in public health and just at the right time. The more pollutants there are, the higher the death rate becomes from coronavirus. Pollution worldwide is down an unheard of 17%. As far as illicit sex is concerned, we don't have any statistics on that because most of it's done in secret, but we assume that it's way down because it's just very, very risky to engage in that nowadays. It calls for bans on wildlife trafficking and the closure of live animal markets as well as factory farming resonate from the Washington Post, the New York Times. National Geographical magazine, in a 1984 issue, showed a series of color photos and drawings, the swift and terrible destruction that wiped out the Roman cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum in AD 79. The explosion of Mount Vesuvius was so sudden, residents were killed in their home while they were on their routine, men and women at the marketplace, rich people in their luxurious baths, slaves were killed at work. They died amid volcanic ash and superheated gases. It takes very little imagination to picture the panic of that terrible day. But what's really sad is that the people did not have to die. Scientists confirm what ancient Roman writers record, that the volcanic eruption was preceded by weeks and weeks of rumblings and shakings that came before the actual explosion. Even an ominous plume of smoke was clearly visible from the mountain just 2 days before the eruption. If they had only been able to read and respond to Vesuvius signs, they would not have had to undergo that terrible cataclysm. Now, there are similar rumblings in our world today. Would you agree? Warfare, earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear threat, economic woes, breakdown of the family, breakdown of moral standards. And now there's the additional warning of the pandemic. Now, these things indicate that we need to make some changes. Krishna wants us to do some new things. Take care of our planet, take care of our fellow creatures, and conduct ourselves in a more godly way. Now, the pandemic is not a cataclysmic disaster in itself. Relative to what it could be, it's just a gentle warning, a slap on the wrist compared to what could come if we don't exercise some nivritti, exercise some restraint. We do not need to be caught unprepared for what's to come. Krishna's devotees heed those warnings, which are indicated by the shakings and the rumblings. Frank Lloyd Wright, as you know, is one of the most innovative architects that the country or even the world has ever produced. But his fame wasn't limited to the United States. About 100 years ago, Japan asked Wright to design a hotel for Tokyo that would be capable of withstanding an earthquake. And when he visited Japan to see where the Imperial Hotel was to be built, he was appalled to find only about 8 feet of earth on the site. And beneath that 8 feet of earth was 60 feet of soft mud that slipped and shook like jelly. Every test hole he dug filled up immediately with water. And since the hotel was going to rest on fluid ground, he decided to build it like a ship. Instead of trying to keep the structure from moving during a quake, he incorporated features that would allow the hotel to ride out the shock without damage. Supports were sunk into the soft mud. Sections of the foundation were cantilevered from the supports. The rooms were built in sections like a train and hinged together. Water pipes and electric lines, usually the first to shear off in an earthquake because they go horizontal, they were hung in vertical ships where they could sway freely if necessary. And Wright knew that the major cause of destruction after an earthquake was fire, because water lines were apt to be broken in the ground, and then there's no way to put the fires out. So he insisted on a large outdoor pool, which you can see right there in the slide, in the courtyard of the hotel, just in case. After 4 years of work, amid ridicule and jeers of skeptical onlookers, this most difficult building in the world was completed, and it wasn't long before the test arrived, which would verify its fidelity. The worst earthquake in Japan's history caused houses and buildings all around the hotel to tumble and fall in ruins. But the Imperial Hotel stood completely undamaged because it was able to adjust itself to the tremors of the earth. Not only had it provided a steady home for hundreds of refugees and people seeking safety, but when the fires that raged all around the hotel threatened to spread, bucket brigades kept the fire from spreading by wetting it down with the water from the hotel's pool. So what do we learn from this? Anybody can trust God or Krishna when things are going their way, when we're in our comfort zone. Life is good. You're seeing favor. The real test is, will you trust him when he's shaking things up? Will you prepare yourself, do the needful when there is uncertainty, when there are things that you don't understand? Krishna, God, has you in the palm of his hand. There's nothing that can happen to you without his permission. And when something or someone threatens to wreak havoc in your life, when something or someone threatens to take things out of your control, our message is to be encouraged. Krishna did not abdicate the throne. He's still in charge. He's still ordering your steps. That shaking is not going to defeat you. It's going to promote you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The shaking is setting you up for what Krishna is about to do. You're on the verge of something better than you ever imagined. Krishna is working behind the scenes. Things are in motion that you can't see. Now, naturally, our thoughts will tell us, no, it's not going to work out. You're not going to get well. Your child is never going to get back on course. This pandemic is going to ruin you financially. No. See it in this way. The shaking is an indication that a shift is taking place. Krishna is about to launch you to a new level. During an earthquake some years ago, the inhabitants of a small village were generally very much alarmed, but they were at the same time very impressed and surprised by the calmness and joy of an old woman whom they all knew. At length, one of them, addressing the old woman, said, "Mother, how are you not afraid?" And the mother said, "Not only am I not afraid, but in the midst of this, I'm rejoicing to know that I have a God who can shake the world." It's not going to be ordinary. It's not going to be common. It's going to be extraordinary, uncommon, unusual, unprecedented, favor, healing, opportunity. One day you'll look back and say, "Wow, I thought that was a bad break. But really, it was setting me up for this new level." That shaking wasn't there to stop me. The shaking is what shifted me into the increase, into promotion, into talent that I didn't even know that I had. And when you're doing the right thing and a door closes, somebody walks away, the contract comes to an end, it's not the enemy stopping you. That's Krishna shifting you. The enemy may have intended to harm you, but he doesn't have the final say. I'll give you a personal example. Back in 1978, I had been the president of the San Francisco Berkeley Krishna Temple for 3 years. It had been floundering, unstable when I came in. But with great effort and a really good management team, we got it back in course. We attracted about 100 new residential devotees. Things started moving forward. Books were going out in the thousands. Income was flowing in. Our annual festival at Golden Gate Park drew 25,000 people in 1977. We acquired 5 residential properties up and down our street for the devotees. We bought a 120-acre beautiful farm in Mendocino County. Long story short, the GBC sent a representative who didn't want to work with me or be accountable to the status quo. His management so saddened me that I could no longer remain and be a part of what was happening. At that time, thoughts flooded my mind. What's going to happen to the temple? What's going to become of the devotees that we worked so hard to bring to the movement? Who will organize the festivals? Who will manage the farm? Who will pay the bill? And yet in the middle of that turmoil, with so much uncertainty, so much shaking and upheaval, I recall feeling a peace that I'd never felt, something I couldn't explain. Even though I loved that temple and I loved that mission, I didn't get depressed. I didn't fall apart. The situation was so much out of my control that I knew Krishna was up to something. What I didn't know at the time was that that shaking was about to shift me. I never dreamed that I would come eventually to Utah. Utah wasn't even on my radar. If you'd asked me what I wanted at the time, I'd have asked just to turn the clock back before that bad leader arrived. But Krishna created me not just to maintain the temple, he wanted me to start a temple. Not only did he want me and Vaibhavi to start a temple, but he wanted it done in the most unlikely place in all of the United States of America. He wanted to amaze people with his power by doing it in a spectacular way. Krishna knew the solution long before the problem even arose. It might be considered prophetic that the temple in Berkeley had just been purchased as a former church from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Krishna knew the solution before the problem even came up. Now, Krishna would not have allowed that door to close. He would not have allowed them to walk away if it was going to stop your purpose. Our encouragement is to have a new perspective. It's shifting you to the new things that Krishna has in store. Quit being discouraged over who pushed you out, who didn't want to be your friend, who played politics, got the best of you. They did not stop your destiny. They shifted you. They were a part of Krishna's plan to push you forward, and you're about to come into the new things that Krishna has in store. Back then, Bai and I, we didn't feel we had a choice. We were pushed out of Berkeley. And we could have been discouraged, but we understood this principle. We knew that Krishna, God, is still in control. He's in the heart of every living being. He's within the atom. And what's interesting is that Spanish Fork is where our ministry took off. Spanish Fork, as unlikely as that seems, was where we flourished and stepped into a new level. We've seen all kinds of miracles in Spanish Fork. KHQN radio station, this gorgeous world-class temple here, another one in Salt Lake City, opened in August of last year. Huge festival of colors, the biggest one in all of North America, held here, and others in three other different states. Great devotee association. We did have success in Berkeley, but not to this level. If we would have stayed in Berkeley, we would have missed the fullness of our destiny. What's important to note is that many times a great shaking precedes a great favor. Great difficulties precede promotion. Great opposition precedes great influence. If you could see what Krishna is up to, you wouldn't be stressed over the shaking. You wouldn't be complaining about the trouble. You wouldn't be upset about the setback. When you realize it's taking you to Spanish Fork, a place where you're going to flourish, it's taking you to do things that you've never dreamed of, to see favor, abundance, and breakthroughs, then you would thank Krishna even in the middle of the shakings. Even though things are uncertain, you know that Krishna's up to something. All through the day, Krishna, thank you that this shaking is not going to stop me, but it's going to shift me. It may have been meant for my harm, but I know it's leading me to my Spanish Fork, where I'm going to flourish and see favor that I've never seen before. Keep the right perspective. Krishna never said that there wouldn't be times when we're not shaken, that there wouldn't be times that are unfair. There wouldn't be times that we don't understand. But those are not the times to fall apart. Those are the times to kick up your praise into a new gear. Those are the times to speak victory in your life. The difficulty did not come to stay, it came to pass. Krishna being for you is more than the whole world being against you. You may have gone through things that caused you great pain, great disappointment, great loss. You could live bitter, discouraged, but that's not how the story ends. Great joy is coming, great favor, great relationships, great health. The enemy thought they were stopping you, but they did not realize they were setting you up. In the shaking, Krishna was shifting you. You may not be there yet, but stay encouraged. You're headed towards great joy. Not just joy, not just, I'm okay, thank you God, I made it out, thank you God, I'm still here. No, great joy, great victories are up out in front of you. You don't have to look back and wax nostalgic about the good old days. Oh, I wish I was there. If we could just turn the clock back. Can I tell you there are some great new days out in front of you? The best days are still up ahead. No matter what you may have gone through in the past, you need to declare every day, Krishna, thank you that great joy is coming. Krishna is quoted as saying in scripture that he will fill your mouth with laughter. That means no matter how down you are, disappointed, how crestfallen you are, you're going to laugh again. You're going to love again. You're going to dream again. Great joy is headed your way. I've learned that these times of shaking, Krishna will always give us the grace that we need. He's armed us with strength for every battle. And if we'll just tap into that strength, we're not going to go around all worried and stressed out. God will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we think that means that Krishna's going to give us what we want. But another way to look at it is this. Krishna will give you what you need to fulfill your purpose and fulfill the desires of your heart. Krishna pushed us from California to Utah. And it's significant that our flourishing came out of a shaky time back there in 1978 when there was uncertainty. It looked like nothing good was happening when in fact Krishna was using that shaky season to shift us, to get us into position to flourish, to see his favor and blessings in new ways. In one sense, that's where we all are right now with the pandemic. Things are shaky, they're uncertain, unprecedented, we've never seen this. All these questions, when will it get back to normal? What about my finances? When will the children go to school? How's it all going to work out? We don't see anything positive, but in the shaking, Krishna is shifting you. It looks like a setback, but really he's setting you up. You're going to come into new opportunities. Doors that weren't open before are going to open for you. You're going to have desires that you never had. Talent is going to come out of you that you didn't even know was in you. Where you've been told no before, because of this shift, you're going to start hearing yes. Yes to that business. Yes to that promotion. Yes to that ministry. The medical checkup, every time you've gone for it, you've always heard the doctor say, no improvement. Nothing's getting better. Get ready for some yeses. Yes, you're getting healthier. Yes, your blood pressure is back to normal. Yes, the cancer is gone. There's some shifting taking place. You can't see it yet, but don't worry. You're coming into it. You don't have to find it. It's going to find you. It's already on its way. The miracle is in motion. Friends, Krishna is doing a new thing. Don't think that the whole world is being put on pause. It's just a physical thing. Lots of spiritual things are happening. Krishna is up to something big. He's looking for people whose hearts are turned towards him. People like you. People who honor him. People who keep him first place. You're going to come out of this shaking into levels that you've never dreamed of before. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna's about to shift some contracts, some businesses, some opportunities, some inheritance. It's going to be unusual. Things that you couldn't make happen yourself are headed your way. Just a matter of time before we see Krishna do unprecedented things. Now all we have to do is just make sure that we keep him first place. You don't have to seek the blessing, just seek him, and then the blessings will seek you. Part of this slowdown is an opportunity to grow closer to Krishna, to walk more intimately in your journey with God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm sure you all agree with me that this slowdown period shows us how little control we have. With all the advancements over the last decades, airplanes, incredible technology, the internet, smartphones, amazing medical procedures, we can transplant hearts. Nevertheless, this one tiny, microscopic, invisible virus has shut down the entire world. The lesson that we can take from this is that if we put our trust in our finances, they can go down like that. If we put our trust in our job, our career, it can suddenly go down. That's why it's important to put your trust in Krishna. He's the one that doesn't change. He's the one that can be counted on not to change. He is our source. That's where we get our strength, our ideas, our creativity, our resources, our wisdom. Krishna is the giver of all good things. And yes, we appreciate the companies we work for. We're grateful to have the income each week, but they are not our source. They are simply a resource that the source, Lord Krishna, is using. The shaking is a sign that things are shifting in the favor of the righteous. Well, true, I don't believe this is going to happen for me. You're right. This is for believers. It's not going to happen to you. It's only going to happen if you release your faith. Say, Krishna, thank you that this shaking is shifting me. Thank you that you're giving me new desires, new vision, new creativity, opening new doors, blessing me so that I can then be a bigger blessing to others. What I've learned is that Krishna is not so much into addition as he's into multiplication. One touch of his favor will catapult you ahead. We look at our circumstances in the natural and we think it could never work out. But don't forget that you serve a supernatural God. He's not limited by what limits us. One good break, one phone call, one contract, and Krishna will multiply what you have, thrust you to a whole new level. Shakiness is the standard right now, I'll admit. Uncertainty is the status quo. The temptation is to live worried, live stressed out. But our encouragement is, get ready, a shift is coming. Krishna is going to make things happen that you couldn't make happen. Perhaps the medical report doesn't look good. It's shaking your world. Come back to that place of peace. Krishna can do what medicine can't do. He's promised the number of your days he will fulfill. Maybe a child is off course, or your business went down. You're in a legal complication. You never dreamed you'd have to be dealing with this, keeping you awake at night. Hey, it's not a surprise to Krishna. He would not have allowed it if he didn't already have a solution. If he didn't have some area already lined up, he would not have allowed that trouble in Berkeley all those years ago. So our suggestion is that instead of being stressed over the shaking, why not start thanking him for the solution? Thank you, Krishna, that Spanish Fork is coming. Breakthroughs, healing, favor. Thank you that what you started in my life, you will finish. Krishna will never let you get into a problem that he can't get you back out of. It may look like your situation doesn't have a solution, look like the odds are against you, but Krishna has ways to do things you've never thought of. What's impossible for people is so possible for Krishna. Now, we may not like the shakings, the times where things seem out of control, but they're not here to stop you. They're here to shift you out of this shaking. New doors are going to open, new opportunities, new relationships, things you didn't see coming. Chains that held you back are about to be unfastened. Chains of depression, change of lack and struggle, change of addictions. Don't complain about the shaking. It's serving a purpose. Krishna is using it to thrust you to where you couldn't go without it. Now, every day, Krishna, thank you that the shaking is shifting me into promotion, into healing, into new levels. Just keep this attitude of faith, and I believe that you're going to come out of the shaking into great joy, great favor, great increase, great relationships, coming into the fullness of your destiny in this life and next life. Go back to home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.